MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
The cracks in South Africa's much-touted national dialogue are widening. Just days before the convention is set to begin, key players, including the F.W. de Klerk Foundation and the Thabo Mbeki Foundation, have pulled out. They've cited budgetary excesses, governance concerns, and a process they say has lost its way. Now, with a 700 million rand price tag and accusations that the agenda is being manipulated, questions are mounting over whether the dialogue can still deliver unity or if it is doomed at the very start. Sanusha Naidu from the Institute for Global Dialogue begins our coverage on the story, and we're going to discuss what's going wrong, what's at stake, and whether there is any path to a credible conversation. So, Sanusha, a very warm welcome to you. Many say the dialogue has been rushed, undermining its legitimacy. From your vantage point, is meaningful citizen engagement still possible under the current constraints?
Good afternoon, Jeremy. Good afternoon to your listeners. It's quite difficult right now to see that meaningful context to be able to extrapolate it as a key factor, because already the whole dialogue has been enshrouded in all of these controversies and all of these questions around its credibility, its legitimacy, but also the question of those foundations that have pulled out. So the meaningful citizenship engagement becomes much more difficult to gauge and difficult to think how it will actually move forward, because now you're sitting with this cloud of controversy and this shadow over the national dialogue in terms of what's supposed to have been a very important discussion and interaction around how citizen participation and a participatory democracy can be further entrenched and moved and strengthened in terms of where our democracy is. So it becomes almost a sense of, I wouldn't say hopelessness, but a sense of cautionary issues, because it doesn't really give you the kind of confidence that this national dialogue will do what it was originally intended to do.
So it's going ahead nonetheless without these key participants that we've listed. What, at the very least, can it hope to achieve then?
Well, you know, the one thing is, let's not hope that this proceedings that will happen in terms of the national dialogue and the convention itself is going ahead. It's not going to just be an exercise in ticking a box. And I think that's the big challenge right now for the dialogue. The second thing I think is maybe perhaps to use the occasion to try and address some of these issues, because some of the issues that have been plaguing the national dialogue needs to be addressed before they can even start having any kind of meaningful interaction and significant engagement. But again, you know, for me, I think the gatekeeping on both sides, whether it's on the government side, whether it's on the civil society side, needs to be tackled head on. There needs to be an honest engagement, an honest discussion. And the question should be asked is, what is the value proposition and utility of the national dialogue in the current atmosphere we find ourselves in, where stakeholders are not necessarily at the table? Some stakeholders are probably looking at how they may tap into the resources. That's the financial tag that they may get in terms of how this is being managed through NEDLAC. And more importantly, I think, you know, the challenge right now is, again, perhaps there needs to be more clarity about what this first meeting of the dialogue will look like, given that there are all of these issues that are basically circumventing and circling around the national dialogue.
Difficult, of course, at the 11th hour to reframe or redesign a new value proposition.
Absolutely. And perhaps, you know, the other thing that perhaps needs to be also mentioned as part of this is, do you want to have a national dialogue while you're also busy with the G20? Because to a large extent, the G20 presidency of South Africa covers part of what the discussion is around the issues with respect to the national dialogue around solidarity, equality and inclusivity and sustainability and all of that, and also some of the issues that South Africa has been ventilating as chair of the G20. And I think sometimes, you know, trying to engage in too many fronts, the multitasking may actually be a bit more difficult than that. So how much would it have taken to have just said, let's wait till after the G20 and we can really give our utmost, our attention and deal with all of these issues in terms of ensuring that we have this discussion. Because at the end of the day, I think there are too many competing agendas as well in the room.
So I'm hearing you say that a postponement is probably the best route to credibility.
I think it's a first step to credibility because it gives you the sense of basically taking time out to breathe, just to enable to assess where you are, what you are doing, and think about this value proposition that we're discussing. Because it may be that rushing into it right now may actually, it feeds into the discourse of what is the narrative around the national dialogue, where some have argued that it's not that its utility has no value proposition because it seems to be just an exercise in something that you need to get you need to tick a box on. And so I think the question is, take a step back and ask yourself, no money, if any money has been committed, if any money has been put down, I think if you're following the Treasury rules around how these allocations take place, you can actually, place it in a kind of moratorium and say, we're going to wait until. So that for me makes it even more kind of gives you a sense of, let's take a step back and see how we get to discuss this in a much more ventilated way. But what I feel now, there are a lot of egos in the room as well.
Sunisha, I'm reluctant to get into the weeds of procedural mechanics, but the Thabo Mbeki Foundation, in fact, other foundations too, citing violations, and I quote, of core dialogue principles. What's your understanding of that? What institutional design flaws do you think might have led to the breakdown?
Like you, I'm also not 100% clear about that, so I don't know what an institutional design flaw looks like. I don't know whether it is about the process in terms of how it was ventilated. It would be nice if we're given a little bit more information about what these institutional design flaws are. Is it on who's managing the process? Is it about the fact that it seems to be about government led and not necessarily citizens participatory, those kinds of dynamics. It also seems to link to, are they not agreeing on certain things with regard to not just the institutional issue, but also the agenda of this. So I think, for me, looking from the outside in like you, Jeremy, it's very difficult to speculate what these design flaws are. But I think what needs to be done is that if it needs to go ahead, and it has to go ahead, then don't rush into it right now. Take a step back and try and deal with those institutional design flaws.
Always appreciate the crisp insight and analysis. That's Dr. Sunisha Naidu from the Institute for Global Dialogue.
MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now let's continue with the story, and the F.W. de Klerk Foundation has become the latest in a string of prominent institutions to walk away from the dialogue. The withdrawal follows heated debate over the budget, something like 700 million rand, also limited transparency in planning, and what some are seeing as a sidelining of key voices in shaping South Africa's future. It's a setback for a process that has been built previously as a platform to unite the nation around pressing economic, political and social challenges. Well, I want to talk now to Ishmael Yusup, who is the Foundation's Manager of Constitutional Advancement. Ishmael, a very warm welcome to you. If I've read this correctly, the Foundation citing a lack of transparency over the budget. Are there any other specific red flags that have prompted your withdrawal from the process?
Yes, there definitely is. Well, I just want to be clear. We, the F.W. de Klerk Foundation, withdrew reluctantly, and we are not abandoning the national dialogue itself. What we've done is we've pulled out only from the preparatory task team and the initial convention on the 15th of August, not from the national dialogue. That's 13,500 dialogues, three ward-level dialogues per ward that will unfold afterwards. And why did we do this? We did it because certain core principles were being compromised by the rush to hold this convention. We believed always that this national convention and thereafter the dialogue should be citizen-led, inclusive, and bottoms-up. Now, something went wrong along the way, and what are those red flags that you're referring to? Well, the clearest example was the insistence on holding a convention despite warnings that we were not ready. We and other civil society partners went to the president and urged a short postponement because key groundwork, logistics, public outreach, community preparation wasn't being done. But even so, government officials pushed ahead, and that put a political timeline above the process's integrity. You know, in a civil society effort, if civil society says we need more time, you listen. But then there was the issue of transparency. We didn't get a clear budget or a clear operational plan until the 11th hour. When NEDLAC signed on to be the secretariat, they received their funds just last week. And so therefore, we, the foundations, lost confidence that the convention could be well organized or could be accountable under those circumstances. Decisions were coming from the top down. Processes were rushed and opaque. And that's exactly what we wanted to avoid and why we withdrew.
There is, of course, a flip side to the argument, is that the conversation needs to get started sooner rather than later, given the parlous position that the country finds itself in right now.
That's true. And I want to say this. We want the dialogue to move forward, but we want the dialogue to move forward on a solid footing. This isn't just about any group dictating terms. It's about making sure that the process actually works. I understand that there are concerns about delays. None of us want the dialogue to stall forever. Our fear was that launching in chaos would do much more harm to the dialogue process itself than to have a short 2-month delay. If the first impression to the public is a poorly organized talk shop, then you lose buy-in. The 900 civil society organizations have signed up to contribute in kind to the dialogue will lose confidence in the process. Then your momentum is lost. So by pausing now, what we are doing as the foundations are actually protecting the dialogue's momentum in the long run, and we are absolutely not trying to derail anything.
What do you think the impact of your withdrawal and that of other foundations is going to be?
Well, it must be said that we, the F.W. de Klerk Foundation, as well as the 6 other legacy foundations who've pulled out, lent a hand of moral credibility to the process. That, yes, damages the reputation of the First National Convention, but I think speaks volumes that we will not lend our names to something that we think isn't done properly. You mentioned the budget, and I want to be clear that the core issue was not the budget. The core issue was proper planning, proper logistics. If we, the foundation, to represent large constituencies in civil society, see that there's a lack of proper planning, that there are various logistical issues, then yes, it speaks volumes to the process itself being rushed, hastened, and purely a political PR exercise.
It's still a pretty hefty price tag, though, isn't it?
You know, I want to be very clear on this. The 700 million rand was a concern, but not in the way that it's been portrayed. The 700 million rand was just a preliminary estimate for the entire dialogue process, the potentially thousands of community meetings over many months, not the cost of a 2-day event. And in fact, I was part of drafting a number of budgets. There was a budget that was between 20 to 30 million rand. The 700 million rand, therefore, was an estimate, and we will not know the true figure of the budget because it's a dynamic budget. And I mentioned the 900 civil society organizations who've contributed in kind. That was during my tenure as co-chairperson of public mobilization. That's meant to reduce the costs dramatically. So in reality, we expect the actual spending to be far less. And we've always pushed to keep the budget lean, to involve private sector support so that taxpayers wouldn't shoulder everything. But our stance isn't about demanding a specific rand amount. It's about saying plan whatever budget you have carefully and transparently before you execute. If that isn't happening, we cannot lend our arms to the convention.
You talk about a lack of moral credibility post the withdrawal of these organizations. Is there a subtext here that this process, without your involvement and others, is potentially dead in the water?
No, the national dialogue, as we've seen from the press conference yesterday, will continue. But I do think that there must be a way to get the foundations back onto the table. And I must say this to the South African people, that we are ready to engage as soon as the process is realigned with those core principles that we agreed on. That means a credible plan for broad-based community involvement, transparent management so that people can trust what's happening. If we see that, you find us back at the table, actively participating. So to the South Africans who are skeptical about the process right now, I would say we understand your skepticism, but don't write off the national dialogue. Our very reason for raising these issues is to make sure that this dialogue is something that we can believe in, and we don't withdraw to sabotage. We do this to insist that the process be genuine and not just a token exercise. So not dead in the water, but desperately in need of realignment with the core principles.
Explain to me what you mean by a lack of transparent management.
Well, what I say is this. When I refer to a lack of transparency, you must realize that the foundations that began on this road as far as 15 months ago with the Thabo Mbeki Foundation making the call for a national dialogue, thereafter we engaged with a group of 50 civil society organizations in September and were given the green light to form something called a PrepCom, a preparatory committee consisting just of the legacy foundations, who also served as chairpersons of the various working committees. Everything was transparent up to that point. Problems really started when that PrepCom became a larger preparatory task team, now a tripartite alliance with government and with NEDLAC. But the lack of transparency that I'm referring to is this. Resources were promised to us by government. We hadn't seen resources up until the 5th of August last week that were transferred to NEDLAC. There were certain key decisions on the venue being procured, on procurement processes that we believe flouted the PFMA, that we as the foundations were kept completely in the dark of. And this is the lack of transparency that I'm managing. As the accountable partners to the dialogue process, we would have preferred to have been kept abreast with all of these developments so that we can play an active role in the convention and the dialogue, but also to keep our constituencies aware of what's happening. There's also been a great lack of communication amongst ourselves, but amongst us as the PTT and society in general. I think society isn't fully aware of what is going on with the convention and therefore not fully bought into the dialogue process itself.
I need a very quick answer to this because time is against us. Are we losing sight of the broad intention because of concerns over procedure?
I think when we look at the national dialogue, there must be a realization that if we don't talk, we are going to fight. And I think even government realizes that. I just wish that we all get on board, all hands on deck, to make sure that the process runs off as it was intended. If we do not do that, then the dialogue we lose as our last best hope to save South Africa from the abyss.
Ishmael Yusup from the F.W. de Klerk Foundation, thank you very much.